CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Shock. It is Friday. You made it to Friday. Congratulations. You deserve a medal.
Ooh,
yeah,
a
you
shiny
did.
One?
Yeah, big shiny one. Big fuck-off shiny one.
You what did. Would it say?
It would say, I made it to Friday. Now, fuck off.
I can wear that around my neck, yes, that's fine.
You know...
Do you have a medal? Does anyone have one?
What for? Like, did
for anything.
That I've been awarded myself? No.
I have a medal.
You do? You do?
Yes. It's for finishing the 5 kilometer Nando's chicken run.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Well,
yes.
Well, bloody done. That's impressive. I'm actually... what can I say? I'm really impressed with you.
What year is it from?
It's probably 10 plus years ago.
Mm. I think I also have some.
But you know what?
I
stopped trying to get medals when I got a medal. You know, then I was like, it's fine. I've got a medal. I can stop.
You know, I have, talking of that, I have the weirdest trophy. It was probably like 2 years into working, and I received this email from an organization that I was helping for community service just randomly, and they said they were having an event and they'd like me to come, and I thought, okay, sure, I always help them out. I get to the event, then somehow the Sign Language Association is involved, and I didn't know. And then they were honoring me as part of like 10 other people. So the whole event is in sign language. I'm not understanding anything. And then they say, Sia, come up, here's your trophy.
Oh my God.
You didn't know what it was for.
So I have a trophy from the Sign Language Association.
Oh, you must be kidding. And you did nothing to earn it.
No.
That's so horrible.
I still have it locked up. Now that I just don't know what to do with. Like, you know, something like that would be an ego boost for me. But years after the fact, I'm still confused.
You should be embarrassed because actually you don't deserve it at all.
Gareth, it's not my fault.
I can just imagine your face and the like half smile, half look of confusion.
Yes.
As you're going up.
Yes. And you know, like... I'm not making light of the situation, but, you know, they don't clap at an event for people who sign.
Yes.
They just raise their hands like spirit fingers in the air.
Yeah.
But you can read facial expressions, and they're all very, very impressed when I stood up. I wonder what is being said.
That is so embarrassing.
But it was too late to back out. You can't say...
What's
can't whisper
for?
To anyone, like, what is this for exactly?
That's hilarious.
You know, we live in such weird times. Like, how is it that Ellen DeGeneres is like the enemy of the people? How did that happen?
Oh, God, that was so weird.
Like, 2 years ago, I would have said Ellen is probably one of the most popular people in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody loved her. Now people are joking that, you know, you meet two kinds of people in Hollywood. You meet people who are on their way to be actors and people who are on their way out of the Ellen DeGeneres show and say horrible things about her.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the attack is really severe. So it actually started with her being in lockdown and doing the show from her house.
Mm.
Oh, goodness me. How's the coronavirus? she started off doing the show in her house, and she made a joke about being in lockdown is like being in prison.
Mm.
In the meantime, she was sitting in her big mansion.
I know.
And so people got upset about that. They're saying, you know, do you know what it's like for lockdown for certain people in the world?
All these celebrities, they say the same thing, and people are just furious with them.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is some guy outed her on Twitter,
yeah,
saying that she treats her staff terribly and all of this. Then some of the guests stepped in. For instance, Nikki Tutorials, who's a makeup artist, she said she was treated inhospitably on the show. It was all at the same time as this cancel culture that's going on in the US, where people just decide en masse to cancel a person.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's so freaking fickle and stupid.
Well, you know, so, Ellen's whole motto used to be kind, right? That was what she would say. Turns out she was the least kind person. And you've got to be careful, because psychologists identified this years ago, and it's a pity Mburello isn't here, because he would know about this. His mom probably drummed it into him at an early age. Like, when someone protests too much, when someone says too much about being kind or doing this or doing that, or they talk too much about this kind of thing or that kind of thing, you know secretly they've got a problem with it. So often people reveal themselves through the things that they sound like they're most opposed to. I mean, there's this great article in Forbes, and they say, celebrities whining about being confined to their mansions during quarantine exposed how out of touch and privileged they really are. And then they say, and proving, I'm getting a bit of feedback from somebody here, by the way. I'm like hearing myself. Ah, there we go. And proving to be incredibly boring on social media. This is so true. Like, I've seen a whole bunch of celebrities who I used to think were really interesting people. And now without the studio audience and without the applause track and without all of the lights and special effects, you suddenly see, like, these people are really fucking boring.
Right.
They're not that good. They're honestly quite ordinary, average, very dreary. No one's putting in the effort that they would into the script for the show, frankly. And it's just bad. It, you know, this is why you don't promise too much. You under-promise, you over-deliver. Not the other way around. Like, they hype these people up so much that they end up being overpromised and underdelivered. Anyway, it says here, not to mention the constant reports of horrific behavior occurring behind the scenes and completely removed the gloss and glamour of the entertainment industry. Celebrities, for the most part, have lost our blind admiration, this is according to Forbes, and earned our distrust. It's a healthy development. We should view celebrities with cynicism and understand that they don't inhabit the same reality that we do, especially if their motto is be kind.
And that they still poop and do normal things. But what I like about this is that it's given chance to normal people to rise in this time. You know, when YouTube first came out, for instance, we realized that being on air, on the radio, as a broadcaster on a radio station, was no longer that special, because anybody could be a broadcaster.
Right.
And the same now has happened with Zoom. You don't have to be have amazing status to host a Zoom conference or, you know, these open sort of platforms where people join.
Mm-hmm.
Well, TED Talks, you know, you can do your own thing now.
Exactly. I've always said, and especially since we started CliffCentral.com, is that the platform itself doesn't matter. It used to be that you had to get a chance to be on air. You know, someone had to give you a leg up.
Mm.
And if you were a musician, some radio station had to say, we'll play your song. And you needed to have friends in the entertainment industry. That's not true anymore. So if you are good now, you're good because you've earned it. If you're bad now, you're bad because people don't care about you. If you don't have an audience, and this is happening to media businesses all over the world and in South Africa. I mean, you look at how IOL, Media 24, Prime Media, they're all laying off people left, right, and center. Because they've been shown up to be a platform with not much content or credibility going for them. If you're not putting out content, if you're not writing a regular column, if you're not doing a daily show, if you're not interacting with your audience in a meaningful way every single day, which I have to, like, pat ourselves on the back on this one, because it's something we've been cultivating from the beginning. And luckily for us, we've got the most brilliant audience in the world too, because they've bought into that from the get-go. And as I have to point out, unlike so many of these other platforms, we're not charging you to listen. You know, it's free. We realize that the most important thing you can have in the whole world is that interaction between us and our audience. And it goes both ways, by the way. It's not just a one-way stream. That makes me really happy. Just proves like we're there.
But then I was also thinking about, you know, cancel culture. Firstly, I still just don't understand what the end goal is when it comes to cancel culture. That's why it doesn't make sense to me. And then it's funny that no one is exempt.
Yeah. I don't think there is a goal, Sia, because it's not something that's been coordinated. Cancel culture is something that's developed from a very angry, very backward place, a place of destruction rather than construction. Cancel culture comes from a bunch of people who really don't have much to offer society, who want to stop other people from offering something to society. And while we may see some people who deserve to fall, like Ellen, go, overall it's a very bad disease, this. It's a disease against creativity. It's a disease against generation. It's a disease against construction. It's a disease against positivity. It's what happens when the worst in the society and the most unproductive and the most stupid start to take control of the means of production. And they're the ones who decide, we know better. So this is a predictable outcome. I warned about this. Do you remember when they canceled the Oscars all those years ago? When they
and we had it was like a computer or robot presenter.
Correct. And I said, this is going to end with all the fun stuff being taken away from us. We're not going to be allowed to have nice things. Because there's this bizarre idea in certain quarters of the world, and it's usually among college-educated, I hate to say it, but it's middle-class, college-educated white people whose parents have provided everything for them in countries like America and the UK and even in South Africa to some degree. These are people who have no idea how the real world works. They've had everything handed to them on a silver platter. Helicopter parents who kept on telling them their whole life long how great they were and they can achieve anything. All that stuff that we've been fed by this generation of what Ben calls really shit parents, right? Those people have grown up thinking that they are better than other people. And they've done nothing to achieve that. It's been given to them. They've watched TV programs, and I know you're not going to enjoy this here, but like Oprah, where Oprah said to people, you can be anything you want to be. Yeah, do your best, and that's good enough. And you're fantastic as you are, and love yourself.
No, I'm fine with that because, I mean, crazy is as crazy does. I listened to that advice and look at me, I turned out great.
Yeah, but you happen to be a balanced person who had a good upbringing.
And you were raised well.
That's why I say crazy is as crazy does.
I know we joke about, like, you know, how all of us have weird families. We all do. Everyone has a weird family. But, you know, if your parents raised you with a bit of balance and said to you, you know, nothing's for free. The world owes you so nothing. It owes you bugger all. They don't say that on all these TV shows. They keep telling people because we lived in a time of plenty. And this coronavirus has hit some of those people square in the eyes. So what they've realized, they've looked around, and they've gone, fuck, actually, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. I was living this consumer life, buying anything I wanted. It was all about the newest pair of sneakers.
Getting everything I wanted
It was spending every weekend just partying with my friends, having fun, instant gratification. I didn't really have to do anything extraordinary to earn. I could have been an online blogger, and I could have made a living. And now, because everyone is online, I'm not so special. Look at what's happened to me. And my parents lied. They told me I could be anything I wanted to be, and now I have to go and learn a skill and fix people's toilets to make money. Oh, no, this is not what I was promised.
And let's not forget how massive one's ego would flare up in an instance like this. Really, take however you feel about yourself and multiply that easily by 50, where you live in a world where every single day you walk into a studio with your name on it and you walk out and there's an audience of 150 people chanting your name and there are t-shirts in your name and you trend every couple of weeks and you know, you have the biggest celebrities come and sing right at your desk.
Yep.
And now all of that is on the line. I cannot imagine
but that would break me. You're talking about Ellen, and you're absolutely right. I'm just talking about ordinary people. And here's the point I'm getting to, because it's taken me a long time. I think you were getting bored, so you were like pushing me to the point. But there are no perfect people. This is so important. I know Leanne knows this because she's lived this incredibly bloody frustrating, interesting, colorful, amazing, weird, wacky, wonderful life. There are no perfect people. We all get it wrong. And we all get it wrong a lot more than we'd like to admit. It's fucking hard being human. You wake up every day. You don't always feel 100%. Every interaction you have with other people is not always in your favor. There are bad people in the world. There are bad things that happen to good people in the world. It is unpredictable. It's wild. Things like an explosion in Beirut happen when nobody's seemingly to blame, where you could be driving past there and it's the end of you.
Mm-hmm.
You could wake up with coronavirus. You might be fine. You might pass it on to the people you love the most in the world, and they might die. There is no perfection. Stop believing in perfection. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. If you stop doing that, you take the pressure off of yourself. Talking about being kind to one another, be kind to yourself.
Right. Thank you. And don't expect Ellen DeGeneres or Oprah or Barack Obama or Donald Trump or whoever your idol is.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, to be superhuman, because they're not. They're just another primate. Really?
Well, going with that thought a little, they are partly the reason why we think of them like that. I'm not saying that, like, I want to see people without makeup on and they must let their guts hang out.
No, sure.
but they sell perfection to us.
That's because it suits them. Then they feel better about themselves and they actually think, oh, I'm better than other people. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep telling people that you're better than them, you start believing it. And eventually when the makeup does come off, people are like, oh my God, what a mess. You know? Anyway, I mean, yeah. This is all crazy, but it's worth discussing. All right, so a few things that are on the agenda for this morning. Let me just go through some of the stuff we'll be doing today, because we've got quite a lot to make our way through. And we do have to touch on some of the big stories in the news. We've got Leanne with us until 7. We're going to talk a little bit about yesterday's webinar, which if you missed it, you missed out on a really interesting discussion with some very, very cool people. I'll tell you about that in a moment. We got some emails and some messages from you on 0797482090, which I got to get to. Some brilliant stuff today. We're going to speak to Phil Kutzer, who you know I've spoken to a couple of times. He's the owner and dealer principal at DeWitt Motors in Ermelo, and they have some incredible deals, which he'll tell us about. But also, we'll talk some general stuff. I, by the way, am driving a Bucky.
Oh, yeah.
A big Mercedes Bucky, and like. It's the first time in my life I could see my dad is like, yes, this is a great car.
Oh, it's a double cab.
It's a double cab? It's great. So I'll talk about that a little later on. We've got George Meany popping in. It's going to be a nice busy day. Lots to talk about. So let's go straight to some messages and then we'll go to headlines. First things, cancel culture is not new. This is Mbulelo, our Mbulelo. Galileo, and in fact any scientist back then were... You know, scientists back then were arrested and killed for suggesting a deviation from the status quo. Recency bias makes us forget the march of progress. Absolutely 100% true. So Galileo was almost burnt at the stake for being a heretic because the Catholic Church, who were controlling the culture at the time, they said, bullshit. You can't say the sun is at the center of the solar system and we spin around it. That's bullshit. We know it's the earth at the center. Well, fast forward a few years. Catholic Church was obviously wrong. Galileo's reputation's been rehabilitated, but the Church has been forever embarrassed about the fact that they made him recant what was scientifically accurate. Nobody's ever been better than the Church canceling humans en masse with brutal violence who disagree. Social media makes us feel like it's worse than it is, says Mbulelo. It's better now. Cancel culture is just words now. 600 years ago, Torquemada, who was the guy who was in charge of the Inquisition, canceled people with gross violence. The Romanov Empire in Russia were so serious about canceling humans that they took out vast swathes of humanity. Yes, that's true. In fact, it happened happened not so long ago. I mean, Hitler tried to cancel the entire Jewish nation. Stalin tried to cancel the entire kulak population. Kulaks were the middle class farmers of Russia who don't exist anymore because he took them out at the knees. Hey team, Gareth, does this mean you secretly want to smoke ciggies? As you mentioned, it a hell of a lot. Peace and love, squared duds. No, I don't care about cigarettes. We've been talking about it because for me it's an issue about freedom. We've had a lot of interesting guests over the last few weeks about, you know, talking about the tobacco ban, because I just find it completely unacceptable that we have a government that treats us like children. We voted for them, and now they're telling us they know better. We'll decide for you. Fuck you.
Up yours.
You don't know what's good for us. You're also not perfect like Ellen DeGeneres, you bunch of morons. Anyway, and then Carl sent me an article from Business Live about me, and it's written about how conspiracist David Icke confused Gareth Cliff. Now, it's written by Chris Roper, who's someone who really, the best of his years are behind him. And I can't believe he wrote this whole article just for me, and I haven't read the whole thing. I skimmed over it briefly, but it's so sad to me that a really great mind like Chris Roper's, and he does have a good mind. He's a smart man. He may be smarter than me, for all I know. Probably is. To waste so much of his time, this is now 2.5 weeks after we had David Icke on the show, and he's sitting there steaming like a teenager, holding a grudge. Him and people like Max Dupria and Peter Bruce, who we've spoken about before, have just called it wrong every time for the last 3-4 years. They've just got it wrong, wrong, wrong. If you're constantly being found out to be wrong about everything you've written, it must be so frustrating. So I just want to say to Chris Roper, I mean, dude, I really skimmed over your article yesterday. Carl just brought it up now, but honestly, if you're wasting your time trying to provoke me into a reaction, I'm very sorry for you. What a horrible life this has become for someone who used to be a really great journalist. And I would have thought to have you on my show before, but now I think you're just a small-minded person, and I can't be bothered to read this nonsense. It's so sad to me that some people are just desperate for attention. Even smart people, intellectually ambitious people with prowess and a good track record up to very recently. And this is, again, because of the fall of the mighty media. You know, these are the self-appointed fourth estate that were going to protect South Africa from the excesses of the state. All they've done is prop up that estate. They've become heralds and bannermen and praise singers for the elite. And it's disgusting. I mean, just so many of these journalists who've just let down the very people who used to read them for guidance, who used to go to them for an interesting point of view. These hollowed out, pointless, and they're doing it for like, what, R100 a word or whatever it is that they write for their rubbish little columns. It's just so sad. So good luck. And thanks for pointing it out, Carl. I always like to laugh about these things. Lots of other messages. We've got to get to some headlines, though. Where do you want to start, Leanne?
If there's anything to do with cigarettes or alcohol coming back, maybe one of those.
I've got a story from the Eastern Cape, which you may be interested in. There might be some cigarettes and tobacco. There's always stories about that. In fact, the tobacco companies were in court yesterday.
Yeah, there's that. And then it seems like there are moves to start opening up sales of liquor again, which might happen quite soon.
I hope so. An Eastern Cape couple is facing 10 years in jail for defrauding SASSA of 1.2 million rand. They could face up to 10 years behind bars. SASSA on Thursday said they were the target of criminal syndicates trying to meddle in the system. It's understood that one of the culprits worked at the agency, inside job, and conspired with an accomplice to register fraudulent social grants recipients. SASSA said the arrest followed the rolling out of its anti-fraud strategy. It is an organization that's convinced there is no one from the public who could penetrate our system except if they're getting help from someone who works within. Well, that's exactly how they stole this money. So you still have, like any other place, nothing's foolproof. If someone wants to steal, they'll find a way. Criminal intent is the important thing here. Joburg residents are outraged by high electricity and water bills. Have you got your water bills, Sia, Leanne?
So I'm on prepaid electricity, so that rules that one out, although I do believe that it has increased in rate. As for water, man, I've got a huge bill which stems from an undetected leak that went on for a while. And then the Eskom was on strike. I mean, not Eskom, Joburg Water was on strike, so they didn't come and fix it. I'm picking up a lot of my community groups that people have either not received invoices or they're receiving them and they're these extra costs that weren't there before. It's a mess.
You see, I put in LED lights all over my house. Right at the beginning of lockdown, I decided I'm spending too much money on electricity and water. So I put in a timer on my geysers so that they only go on in the morning and the evening. And that'll save me some power. I manually switch off things like the pool pump and only switch it on once or twice a week just to keep the pool from going green and gross. And I'm trying to save money wherever I can, but my bill hasn't gone down at all, which makes me very suspicious.
Yeah, you see. Don't be suspicious.
I am suspicious. So it turns out, according to this news story, this is from ENCA, they say, Gauteng residents are outraged by high electricity and water bills. Many say they've been double billed or incorrectly billed for more water and electricity than they've used. The city of Johannesburg admits there was a glitch in the system. You know, I wonder if those people hadn't complained, whether the city would ever have admitted there was a glitch in the system or they'd just taken the money like thieves.
But they've admitted there's a glitch in the system. However, they've said, but we didn't make any mistakes.
Huh? If the system has a city of Joburg, if the system has a glitch in it and it's your system,
How does that make sense?
It's your mistake, you morons.
Exactly.
But then also, does this acknowledgement come with charging people differently?
I think they thumb suck so much of this stuff because so many of the meters that they use don't work properly. So they don't know. Let's make it 5,000 Rand. They just expect you to pay. And believe me, if you don't pay, water gets cut off. Your electricity gets cut off. They do it just like that. They don't fuck around. But if they switch off the power because they're doing maintenance or Eskom's load shedding or one of those things, you don't get a refund. They don't send you a note saying, terribly, terribly sorry, your power will be on as quickly as possible.
Yeah, how come it doesn't work like that?
Nah, it's not fair. You're the idiot. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. Oh, a story from Boksburg. You're going to like this.
What?
The Gauteng Health Department said it was taking disciplinary action against a staff member allegedly involved in a baby swapping incident at a Boksburg hospital.
Dun, dun, dun.
The department said the hospital admitted the identification of the babies and discharge procedure was not followed properly. Imagine you're a mum and you go in to have your first child and you're so excited and you end up walking out with someone else's baby. Hospital phones you like 5 days later and they go, I think we gave you the wrong baby.
And 5 days in newborn terms feels like 5 years.
Excuse me, I'd far rather that call where they own up to it.
Than you end up raising that baby.
Someone else's baby.
And you find out 10 years later when you go for a DNA test or something.
And this happens.
Yeah. Yeah. The two babies, a boy and a girl, were born on 24 July. The baby girl's mother realized at 9 p.m. on the same evening when she changed the baby's nappy that it was not hers. As she had delivered a girl. And instead she had a boy.
Jeez. Now, I mean, one wonders if it was two girls, would the mistake ever have been picked up?
Yes.
Maybe not. We should all have ourselves checked, huh? You should go to your parents and get some DNA from them. You should go get your DNA and just check that you are actually your parents' child. You never know. And thank you, Donald Trump. Another great thing that this man has done. He has signed an executive order to ban transactions with TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. The executive order says the U.S. must take aggressive action against the owners of TikTok to protect our national security. Under the order, beginning in 45 days, the U.S. transaction with ByteDance will be prohibited. TikTok denies accusations that it is controlled or shares data with the Chinese government. But, of course, any business in China does. They have to. In both executive orders, he said he'd found additional steps that must be taken to deal with the national emergency with respect to information and communications technology and services supply chain. He adds, the spread in the United States of mobile applications developed and owned by companies in the People's Republic of China continues to threaten national security. He refers to both apps as a threat, both apps being TikTok and what's the other one?
Twitter.
No, WeChat.
WeChat.
No, Twitter's American. You see, like I'm always against governments interfering in business, but here in this case, these are not real businesses. They're actually businesses that are backed by the Chinese government. And of course they're gathering information, and not on their own citizens, but on people all over the world who are not even their citizens. So at least the Americans are standing up for themselves. Anyway, if you're on TikTok, you deserve to be banned, if you ask me.
Well, it doesn't really change much because Facebook Incorporated has rolled out this new feature on Instagram called Instagram Reels.
Yes.
And essentially it's a duplicate of
TikTok,
the same way they rolled out Insta Stories, right, which were just like another version of Snapchat.
Right. So Zuckerberg he'll start making his app friendlier for doing that stuff anyway. So good. Let competition take over here, because ultimately that will be what people do. They'll go wherever the competition is best. They'll go with the product that does the best job. Listen, if your life is wrapped up in TikTok or in Instagram or in Twitter or in Facebook, you're not living a real life, and you need to sometimes be brought back down to earth. I wouldn't mind if they switched off all these social media apps for a month or two. I really wouldn't. Switch them off and see how many people lose their minds.
I don't know. I think it's definitely worth it if you're following the right people and there are good content creators out there. And especially with the media in such trouble in South Africa and magazines and publishing, now's the time to get your information and your fix of information from these platforms if they are being curated by, you know, good content creators.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't mind the stuff. I've never had a TikTok account or a Snapchat account, or I don't even have one of those dating accounts on Tinder. But the reality is, like, if you do, good, fine, do it if you want to. But if that's your whole life, you need some help.
Reassess it.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of those people earning millions, yeah, then come and be my friend.
No, but even that, like, frankly, that's not real. It's silly. This is interesting. Christopher Steele. Do you remember the Steele dossier, which was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and alleged that there was Russian collusion, and they never found any evidence when they did an investigation at Donald Trump? It lasted for months. Remember that? Well, this guy has the balls, this Christopher Steele, to come out and say that he still is concerned that Russia is targeting political parties. I mean, this guy's been completely discredited. Hillary Clinton paid him to make up a fake dossier of stuff about Donald Trump. Remember, I mean, Donald Trump was basically on the verge of being impeached. There was no evidence. You can go back and listen to every single piece of that supposed evidence. There wasn't any. It was all hearsay. And it was made up by this guy, this Christopher Steele, who frankly should be shutting up. He shouldn't be saying a damn thing at the moment. He's lucky he's not in jail for spreading disinformation. He says Russia is still interfering in elections. Well, surprise, surprise, but we didn't need you to tell us that because you have no credibility. Speaking on Mr. Collins' podcast, Damien Collins, that's the Conservative MP, he said political parties in the UK are being targeted, whether through donations or cyber hacking, and must proactively approach the security services for help. He argued Moscow's aim was to create great polarity, great partisanship, and divisions within political life, the likes of which we have not seen before. He said the Kremlin was seeking to shatter consensus and push political debate to the extremes, pointing to Brexit as an example. I would very much question this man's integrity. I would also question his motives, this Christopher Steele. He's not someone we should be listening to after he's been completely discredited by these investigations that were launched on the basis of his outrageous conspiracy theories. Frankly, they were paid for by Hillary Clinton. Let's not forget that. Anyway, that's going on in the world. There are more messages.
His name sounds like it should be somebody who writes novels.
Novels, I knew it.
Well, yeah, his cousin Danielle Steele.
Danielle Steele.
Yeah, she said that she also believes Russia's hacking into people's election results. Please think twice.
That just always...
Yeah. Robin, Dr. Robin says, please think twice about checking your DNA. In up to 10% of cases, paternity is not what is presented.
Huh.
Explain that one, Mom. Mom.
Our mothers have been busy.
Oh, 10% of cases.
You know. I'll never forget. It was Aunt Tabitha once when she was in a bit of a drunk stupor. She looked at my mother and she said, yes, Zodwa. Hey, I'll never forget when you loved going to watch those boys play soccer at the fields all the time.
Ooh.
Never since then, I started to think,
this is your
what
drunk,
if my,
your drunk,
father, my
your
real father,
Aunt Tabitha, who's letting out some secrets.
Yes. She said it very jokingly, but I thought, maybe my mom did go around the block in her youth. And what if my real father's like from Maritzburg United?
Don't you disparage. Don't you disparage your saintly mother on this show.
Sia, it has been proven that sportsmanship is not in your genes. So
Good point. Good point.
Well, you know, this is how, like, the Jews do it differently to everybody, right? You're only Jewish if your mother was Jewish.
Yeah.
Because you know who your
mother, grandmother.
You know who the mother is. You have to be born from the mother, right? So there's obviously a chain of events. The child comes out of the mother. You know who the mom is. But you don't know who the father is. So all those people who regard society as being patriarchal and you inherit your father's surname and you look at your paternal line of ancestry. How do you know for sure? You have to get that DNA test done.
Don't ask questions you aren't prepared whose answers you aren't prepared to deal with.
Yeah, thank you. Here's something interesting from Carl. He says, Gareth, I quoted you for solar 3 years ago, and if I update the model, you would have saved more than 100,000 Rand by now. I know, Carl, I couldn't afford it at the time. I still don't know if I can afford it. In fact, I know now I'm in a worse financial position than I was 3 years ago when you quoted me. And you were right.
Now it's not the...
I should have gone solo. But you know what, Carl? There wasn't any money in the till. So what do you want me to do? I do wish I could save money on electricity, and I'm going to find ways. But I honestly don't have 100 grand lying around to pay for solar geysers. And I think it was close to that he quoted me. So anyway. Joe says, morning. Our stupid government has now completely lost the war on the cigarette trade. Prices in Lydenburg, that's in Mpumalanga, are actually coming down by over 40%. A few weeks back, the price per carton was 500 Rand. Now they're 350. And boss, if you take two cartons, it drops to 300 Rand a carton. Choice has now exploded from one or two brands to a whole smorgasbord of options. NDZ is either very clever or insanely stupid. The rest of the command council, shame, shame, shame. Have a lacquer day. Love the show, Joe. Is it easier to get cigarettes now than it was at the beginning of lockdown, Leanne?
Yeah. Once you find your channels, it's so much better.
So these guys,
you know, before it was difficult to buy them in bulk.
I love the way that the lawyer for government goes on TV last night and she goes, it's for your health.
Don't try that card.
Yeah, why the hell should we believe you? Come on. They really are just so stupid.
They're just trying to use anything at this point. None of it is working.
Here's Baldwin from Soshanguve. And Baldwin says the Tswane municipal workers who were protesting and screwing up the city that caused my lights and water to go out last weekend, they've hit Soshanguve now, so he has no water from yesterday afternoon. Ah, Baldwin, I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, man.
Such an inconvenience, honestly.
Hey Gareth, there's a voice note here. Do you want to hear a voice note? This is from Dion.
Okay.
Oh, let's risk it.
Okay, let's go.
Morning, guys. Another thing that irritates me about radio is not just the cock music they are playing, but the presenter saying what the temperature is going to be in each district. 18 to 19, 19 to 20, 19 to 20. What a fucking idiot!
So Dion's angry about the weather reports on radio. Dude, calm down, I promise you. You're listening to radio, it's your fault.
Gosh, Dion.
Yeah.
Excuse, man.
I had such a good sleep last night. Oh, man. I got into bed.
Did you?
Yeah, I closed my eyes probably at 10:30. I slept like a rock. I didn't wake up once. It was so nice. I woke up this morning and see, I had to check that I was awake because I got into like a comatose sleep.
Yeah, I did something similar. I was asleep by 8:45. It was beautiful.
God, it's nice. Morning, guys. I was wondering if someone could... I just want to read this from Switzerland. This is from Mickey. He says, I wonder if someone could answer this when Eskom raises the price of electricity. Do they just do it for South Africa or do they raise it for our neighbors that Eskom supplies power to? I wish I knew.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
You doubt what?
I doubt that they raise it for the neighbors because... I don't know. I seem to be of the opinion that they're kinder to our neighbors than they are to us.
Oh, we don't know. I have confirmed it. I just saw it on social media. But if it is true, it's really funny and annoying all at the same time. Supposedly Botswana is about to go, is about to have an alcohol ban as well. Mm-hmm. Because of the South Africans living close to the border who just take a little hop, skip, and a jump over to Botswana and they get some alcohol there and then they come back. Good. If it is true, I'd be so pissed as the whole of Botswana.
Oh, my word.
Well, here's Anushka. She says, I bought my second box of Asara Merlot yesterday and my dealer gave me a bottle of Malbec free to test. Isn't that nice? So now the dealers, the illicit dealers, are also giving you samples of other stuff to entice you into.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing, man.
It's very good.
So I have a memorial service today for a family member. Mm-hmm. And when we were planning it, we all sat back and we made lists of what food we'd need. And then one of us piped up and said, how are we going to have a funeral without alcohol?
We
had to enlist the help of some dealers.
Oh, so you're going to get some alcohol, yeah. But that's great. Good for you.
Wait, is alcohol a thing at memorials?
Yeah.
Well, after the memorial.
After tears, yeah?
No. Why are you drinking?
Mm-hmm.
It's a vein for the pains, yeah?
Of course.
See, this is why it's so important for me to leave a document for my funeral proceedings.
You don't want people drinking?
No, it will take your mind off things. I want people still focused on my death.
All about you.
No, man, it's not to drink. It's just to take the absolute sting out of it. It's like medication.
I know Leanne's got to go just now, but she was talking to me about like bad news and negative stories and anxiety around the news. This is something real that lots of people are going through. So just before you leave, just tell us about what you found out about this.
So there's something called a sticky brain, which is a term used by psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
A sticky mind, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you guys feel, but when you read a news story or see a news story, sometimes it really sticks with you for a while.
Yeah.
And that happens to some people more than others. So you know, 2020 in itself has had so many negative events that even the calmest person could be spiraled into anxious thoughts. But the thing is, it actually only affects some people in the way where you become almost obsessive. And you may see something sometimes in a news story that plays over and over in your head. People with anxiety disorders will actually be the most prone to this, where they then delve in deeper and they want to know everything that happens around the story. And I think that a lot of us that happened to with Corona in the beginning, we read absolutely everything we could and try to prepare ourselves for the future. But the thing is with sticky minds, the thoughts that are experienced by people who have sticky minds, they don't respond to direct efforts to get rid of them. So instead of just saying, okay, I've seen this, this is happening, let me move on, it stays and you start obsessing about it. And right. It becomes a cyclical situation. So the idea they're saying is to change your relationship with it. Take a broader view, take a step back, an attitude of curiosity and humor instead of judgment, alarm, and urgency. So it's amazing how a lot of these stories provoke in us or evoke a feeling of like urgency or warning signals. And it's all about changing that narrative and that story and just taking a step back and saying, okay, I'm slightly interested in this, but I'm not going to obsess. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Makes sense. I actually wrote something yesterday. I'll get to it just after 7. But this is precisely what's on my mind at the moment, because I think we've also got ourselves into a situation where we're feeding off the bad news because there's so much bad news and people are in fight or flight the whole time. And it's this self-perpetuating circle which is doing us no good in terms of our mental health. It is. Making you anxious. It's elevating your stress levels the whole time. It's not good. Anyway, all right, Leanne, you got to go
completely.
But we'll
okie dokie, Bob.
We'll check in with you on Monday.
Yes, see you then. Have a good weekend.
Fantastic, and
yay, have a good one.
Thanks, Ass. Have a happy day, and obviously, best of luck for the memorial. That's never nice. Shame. It's a horrible thing to have to do. All right, cliffcentral.com. It is a Friday. It's just after 7 o'clock. We are here until 8 to keep you company. We've got George Meany popping by, Phil Kurtzer. We've got a bunch of emails and interesting things to tell you about. There was also a great webinar yesterday, which I'll let you know about so you can go and catch up with that, because even if you missed it, you shouldn't have to miss out.
Cliffcentral.com.